Initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission. Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Greetings and salutations. This is Johnny Reed, and I'd like to welcome you to the Brute Squad. And as always, my brother-in-arms, Todd.
Hey, glad to be here. Always a pleasure.
Always.
Always fun and exciting.
Always something new, especially going into this whole summer movie season.
Wow, it is going to be a heck of a season, you know. Not as good as next year, but pretty good.
You only say that because Batman's next year.
That's right. Star Wars is coming in 2012. They're going to re-release the whole trilogy, all six of them are going to be in 3D. I'm like, yes.
You're excited about that?
Hell yes, dude. Anytime a movie should be in 3D, it should be Star Wars.
That is true.
I've been waiting for that. And, you know, they're using the LucasArts version of the 3D technology that they used for Nightmare Before Christmas. So it's going to be breathtaking. Unfortunately, some of the movies, like the recent Thor, even though I loved the movie, I thought the 3D was horrendous. It didn't add anything. It was too dark. It made things kind of fuzzy. The only time it really even gave us any effect was when the snowfall was coming down or anything like that. You know, atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. And for all of those, you know, yes, we're going to talk about Thor tonight because Todd and I were there at the midnight showing.
We were there. I had the helmet.
Yeah, you had that, Mojanair. Todd was all decked out, ready to go. But we had a good time. I mean, it was a good crowd. I mean, I'm not going to say the movie was bad. It was a good movie.
I gave it 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, but there's certain things that I had some problems with, you know, that I think could have been done better. But honestly, I mean, 3D movies, I mean, really? I haven't seen a real good 3D movie, I would almost say, since Jaws 3.
It's old, man. Well, I really loved My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
Yes.
That was great.
But see, those are movies that they're actually
shot
filming to be 3D.
That's right.
They have certain scenes written to be 3D.
And they film them with the cameras.
Right.
Right.
But Thor, yeah, it's 3D. But do they really think about that when, hey, let's write this scene where this guy's hand's going to be going here?
It's processed.
It's all, yeah, it's not.
It's junk.
To me, whether it was 3D or not, I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to better the movie.
It did not, no. As a matter of fact, it frustrated me because when the movie first started, that's about the third time now that they've done that to me at AMC where that one time everyone is green like the Hulk.
Right.
Another time, and I think you were there for the green one, weren't you?
Yes, I was there for the green one.
And we got the hell out of there. Another time they did it and the picture was just black and white and it was way whacked. You couldn't even follow it. Well, this time it was color, but it was in a different three-dimensional ratio. It was in the IMAX ratio, which didn't work for us, so they had to fix it. So the whole first of the movie we had to rewatch again. Thanks,
well, everything
AMC.
Was like transposed, where you were actually looking at like a film on top of a film.
That's how,
really,
and
odd.
That's how it looks when you normally take the glasses off.
Right.
But it was looking at that with the glasses on because it was the things were too wide. They were set up for the wrong, you know, the wrong screen.
Right.
And just, you know, again, Kansas City's AMC theaters. We really need to tell those guys, look, guys, you really need to start. Quality control means something. And I'll tell you this, if they don't get their crap together, Star Wars will get pulled because last time when Lucas released them, the original trilogy, AMC here and in Independence both lost prints because people can call on that 1-800-LUCAS-HOTLINE thing. People were pulling their prints out of the AMC because they were unhappy with the presentation.
Oh, yeah. It happened.
A couple of complaints and there, you're done.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
But I'm glad, and you know, I'm like, Lucas is a tyrant. Well, you know what? Lucas, I'm glad he did it because
he protects his own property.
He did, and he made me happy as a fan because I'm not going to have to go and watch something that some 15-year-old that's only there for 3 hours a night doesn't care about when he puts it on the projector.
Well, let's talk about Thor.
Let's do it.
We're there. I know Todd, of course, we're going to put him on a soapbox.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try not to.
But Todd was very disappointed that Thor only had his helmet on for very few scenes in the movie.
Try 42 seconds.
Dude, you timed it.
I tell you what, 42 seconds.
Yes. That was quite disappointing. I mean, to me, it's that's kind of an iconic image of Thor, and they really didn't have it.
Right. It just really, it felt, you know what?
I mean, Thor should have the helmet.
Everybody else in the movie wore their helmets for the majority of the film, even as his buddies, the Warriors 3 and all those guys, but yet Thor didn't.
Yeah, it was very odd.
And then they, and again, spoiler alert here, but there's a scene in there, and if you know anything about Thor, you know that when he loses his powers, he does get them back.
Right.
And when he gets them back, it was so spectacular because the music was building up. It was like something out of Excalibur. I was like, yes, I felt it. I was getting the chills on my back. The big blinding white light. Thor stepped out of the light and looked like an extra from Manowar. I was like, hold on, where is your helmet? That was the moment he should have had the helmet.
Oh, granted, yes.
That was the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, that was the, da-da-da, I'm back full, look at my helmet.
That was the whole walking with your back to the wind thing, you know?
That was, yes, it was the one.
It was.
And by God, he goes up against a frost giant and doesn't even wear a helmet for that?
It was very odd.
Weird, guys, and I know why. They're selling posters. The chicks don't like the helmet, man. Chicks want his face seen, and that way he becomes a sex symbol.
But really, come on. Batman covers his whole face, and that movie sold how much more?
Well, and that, again, let's stay true to the characters. But then you got the people who are digging the latex and leather thing, so that's kind of a whole different kink.
Yeah, let's not get into Schumacher here. I had a different problem with the movie myself. Because, see, for me, I'm all about the story. When I watch a movie, I want a good story. I want a good presentation. I want it to stay true to the elements. But even if you have to change it, you should have it believable. And I keep seeing and I'm one of those guys, I'm sorry, I'm a net surfer. I'm going to go out and read a little bit about the movie beforehand. I want to go see the interviews. I want to see what they're doing on the set. And everything everyone talked about, you know, Kenneth Branagh kept saying, hey, this is a big story about Jane Foster and a big story about, you know, Thor and him actually, you know, embracing humanity and him being humbled. And I think it really fell short because the scenes with them together, there's very few in them.
Well, I think also I was talking to Matt about that same thing, and I believe it was running time issues because it's a summertime movie. They want to get asses in the seat as quick as possible.
I understand, but by the same token, let's be true to the story. I mean, this is my problem, and let me interject here because the one thing that I would have liked to have seen is Thor is basically on Earth. You know, spoiler alert, but he's basically on Earth 2.5 days. Is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, his first night he's in the hospital, his second night he's out drinking, and the third night he's basically out looking at the stars with, you know, Jane Foster and Natalie Portman.
And then that's the next day is when
everything hits the fan.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, and then they have scenes later on, you know, and he's like, I'm a changed man. I'm like, first of all, we're dealing with not only a guy with a chip on his shoulder, we're talking about a god. I mean, we're talking.
No, he's
Norse
an alien now.
Well, not quite, but I mean, they didn't come out and say it.
It was as bad as Highlander almost.
Oh, don't even get me started there. but really, we're talking about a Norse god with a chip on his shoulder that's been around. I mean, we're talking Norse mythology. How long has Thor been around?
Well,
he's supposed to be hundreds of years old, and he's going to get this chip off his shoulder
in a day.
In 3 days. And this is the problem: is they had a scene where the Warriors 3 and Sif. They go to the throne, and they're like, hey, will you send Thor back? All they had to do was sit there and change the dialogue a little bit and say, hey, he's been down there for 6 months, or he's been down there a year. Do you think time's up yet? And then just throw one or two little scenes that might have shown that he had been down there for a period of time where he would have had the time to actually understand what it was to be human.
Right. I honestly believe that'll be in the director's cut on the Blu-ray.
I'm hoping.
I think that will.
But you know, but I think it's really sad that it wasn't for this. And well, I think that
they do that all the time.
You watch Spider-Man. You
know? Look at Sucker Punch. Well, the poor guy lost 18 minutes of his own movie.
But look at the movies that are successful. I mean, really, Spider-Man. A lot of the time was Mary Jane and Peter Parker.
Right.
People like that. Look at the Batman. A lot of it was him and Rachel.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point. I mean, there was a lot more of him and Rachel than there was with Thor and Jane.
Well, that's true.
I mean, and then let's look at, you know, Iron Man. There's a lot of scenes with Tony Stark and Pepper.
Right.
You know, people like that human reaction. And to me, I didn't really feel that I really connected with Thor, except for the arrogant, I'm going to battle frost giants. And I think that was great. And by the same token, though, they never really touched on the whole point of Thor and Sif being an item.
Right.
In the comics, that was always very, you know, Thor with Sif, but Donald Blake.
And also Valkyrie. What was the deal with Valkyrie? She and Thor had something going in the 70s there. I can't remember what it all was, but there was some kind of connection between them in the 70s. Remember Valkyrie? She used to be pretty cool.
Well, granted, but that's the whole story. This is supposed to be in the Ultimate Realm, like the Ultimate Avengers.
Ultimate Universe, unfortunately.
And in the Ultimate Universe, Valkyrie and Thor are lovers. They are together.
Wow.
They don't even have her in here.
No.
You know, so that's one of those things, too. It's kind of like they're taking a little bit of pieces from Ultimate Universe, taking a little bit of pieces from the regular, which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's an enjoyable movie. I had fun watching it. The effects were spectacular.
I have to have an interjection about the Kansas City Star. Bob Butler did an article about it, and he said that basically Kenneth Branagh almost saved the movie because he approached the movie like he does his Shakespearean background, and he made it a grand epic with heroism and human emotion that almost made it work, but not quite because Thor is a second-tier nobody character, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, Bob, you are, for lack of a better term, Jane, you ignorant slut. I just want to say that to Bob Butler when he wrote this. And I like Bob,
right.
But he hates comics, you could tell. I don't know why they have him reviewing it. He hated The Dark Knight. He predicted its failure, and when it succeeded, he then wrote 6 articles taking it apart because he couldn't handle the fact that it was such a success. He's doing the same thing with Thor, only this time I felt like I want to write to the guy, and this is what's frustrating about all the critics. How many Thor comics have you read in your life, buddy? Because to me, the Thor comics were always high on emotion, grandeur, and epic scale.
That's it was always. You're dealing with a god, so you have to have epic.
Kenneth Branagh didn't bring that much to the table. As a matter of fact, I kind of thought the things he did bring to the table was just the humor. I don't think he brought any of the epic scale because that was already there. As a matter of fact, it seems like it was toned down even.
I don't know about toned down.
From the comic, you know, all those big battles with when they were on Earth and bam, mountains were flying. Remember all that crazy
stuff? Oh, granted, yeah.
That kind of stuff is what I'm saying. It was toned down.
Right. But I don't know, the battle with the frost giant, that was great. I mean, the effects looked good. The frost giants
Valhalla,
everything
was great.
Yeah, that it was awesome. You know, Asgard, awesome. I mean, I loved the look of it. They really showed how massive
Majesty,
it could
be. It was great.
I mean, it looked like this is home of the gods.
I liked it, yeah.
Anthony Hopkins is Odin.
Great.
Oh, my Lord. Beyond.
Chills, man.
I mean, I knew he was going to be good, but I mean, beyond expectation.
To me, Loki stole the show.
I would agree. I was going to go there.
He's
Loki,
amazing.
I think, he's a great actor.
Looks just like him.
Not really well known here, but is a great actor. And you know what's funny? I see a lot of similarities with Thor and Heath Ledger.
A lot of people have been saying that. I don't really see it myself.
I saw that a lot, but especially in the car scene when they were visiting. I think a lot of it might just be the accent. They both
maybe.
Are from Australia a little bit, and it kind of seeps through.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. And, you know, a lot of people have, you know, ignored the fact that Natalie Portman, she kind of was window dressing for part of this movie, and I think she did great with what she had because she's such a talented actress that she was able to at least, like, toward the end especially – When she wasn't really saying anything, but she went on with her work and she was still looking for Thor,
mm-hmm.
She was that longing was in her eyes and everything. You still felt that connection, and they did have a chemistry. The problem was, like you said,
they didn't give enough time.
And I bet you anything, the Blu-ray, we're going to see a whole bunch of scenes that are going to be exposition between those two.
And I'm hoping. And if not, to me, I think that's where the movie fell short.
I agree.
I wanted to see more of Jane and Thor, and I didn't get that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, overall, it was a good movie. It's enjoyable. I had
fun
seeing it.
I want to see Fin Fang Foom. I don't understand why he wasn't in the movie.
Well, that's because he's with Iron Man.
I know. Isn't that great?
Nice.
I just want to complain for no reason at all.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know where Chang-Chi was, okay?
Why don't you just throw Luthor out there? Why isn't Lex in this one?
Oh, wrong group. But yeah. Actually, I have something to say about Lex, and I'm changing the subject for just 1 second. But it is a little bit of a spoiler alert. I have seen a little bit of stuff from the Smallville that's coming.
Yes,
the
so finale. Have I. Yes.
Now, I don't know what to make. The pictures I've seen, of course, they'll never leak a picture of him in the suit, but they're using the suit from Superman Returns that no one liked with a burgundy. I'm seeing the burgundy, and that's not what they showed last year at the end of the season when he opened that box and the suit was in it that Aunt May had – not Aunt May. What's her name? His mom.
Martha.
Yes.
I
can't believe I said Aunt May. Anyway, the suit that Martha made for him.
Yes.
Was in that box.
Annette O'Toole.
Yes. She's great. Well, that was a bright, nice red, and this is – not the same suit. So anyway, that's
basically
the suit.
The suit they showed is actually the one that's it looks very almost 99% the Brandon Routh Superman suit from.
Right.
I mean, it looks very much like him.
And that's a burgundy nasty color. And then also, they showed some really great. You know, Luther's coming back, and I always
of
liked
course.
Him as Luther. I thought he was great.
Oh, he was perfect. I thought he was awesome. Michael Rothenberg is just brilliant.
And one other thing about Friday. Priest starts, so we're hitting that at midnight on Thursday night.
Oh, there you go.
I've already got the it's either at Barry Woods or it's over at Dickinson, but we're
there
hitting
you
one
go
of them there.
Well, the other thing about Smallville that any of you guys that watched last week and you have to look forward to with the season finale, I should say season finale, series finale,
yeah,
is that they're finally putting together, I don't know if they're going to call it the Legion of Doom and Justice Gang, but I mean, you got Captain Cold, you got Solomon Grundy, you got Roulette. You got Dark Archer. I mean, you have some. I mean, a really good selection.
Okay, I don't know what that was, but let's keep going.
Keep going.
Wow.
You'll cut that later.
Yes. I don't think anyone could hear it but us, so we're okay.
But no, yeah, Dark Roulette. I mean, ugh.
Well, we got a lot of good stuff in there. That's the point. We got
yeah, I mean, it's
going to
be
characters.
A really, really good. I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to be great. I wasn't happy, you know, spoiler alert, the very last scene last week when Lois hands him the ring back and says, I can't marry you. It's like, really? It's like, that's what we've been waiting for.
Actually, I'm glad that I haven't been waiting for that because it makes me mad because they're not supposed to get married until he's been Superman for a long, long, long time. I'm really getting frustrated with their timeline.
But by
Dark
the same
Seed,
token,
Dark Side.
By the same token, he never met her in Smallville anyway.
I know. That's what's driving me nuts.
But yeah, as long as you separate it and say, this is a little bit different, this is an Elseworld title, you'll be all right. Just
that
remember,
Elseworld,
this is an
yeah.
Elseworld title and we're fine.
I tell you what, it has to be that way for me because everyone gave Jeff Matsuda such a hard time for his animated Batman a few years back. I actually fell in love with that show. When I first saw it, it took me back because I was like, wow, Batman looks pretty cool, but the villains look weird. Joker doesn't have any shoes. He's bouncing around. But man, the more I watched it, the more I dug what they were doing. Like the Riddler was strange looking with the long stringy hair, but Robert Englund did his voice and it was creepy.
Well, Riddler was very, you could tell that they really were inspired by... Oh, why can I not think of it?
I don't know. I don't know who you're thinking of.
Marilyn Manson. There
oh,
you
yeah,
go.
A
there
Marilyn
it is.
Manson-esque
yeah,
stuff.
I mean, he had a very Marilyn Manson look to him.
Well, all you that, know? The whole series was a complete it was a vision of
yes.
Jeff Matsuda, and that's what I thought was brilliant about it, because not only did it change some things, but unlike Joel Schumacher, it didn't destroy the character you love. It actually took that and enhanced, I don't know if the word enhanced is right. All right, let me think.
It kind of took it to a different direction.
It did. It took that character yeah. you love. Kept him exactly the same as what you love.
Mm-hmm.
His morals were the same. His beliefs were the same. His fiber was the same. And his integrity was intact. But it took it to that level of, okay, this is Jeff Matsuda's version of Batman. This is Batman doing this stuff now. This is a different universe, kind of like Frank Miller did. Now, mm-hmm. everyone praised Frank Miller. Then the same people praising Frank Miller turn around and damned Jeff Matsuda. And I'm like, well, have you really watched it? Have you given it a chance other than to see that the Joker didn't have shoes? I mean, give it a chance.
Well, the other thing that I think is bad about – and we got to talk about Batman as a franchise for animation. It's like you had the Batman animated, which went for a while, and those were great, brilliant. My favorite to date Batman is the Batman animated. But then you go into the Batman, which you're speaking of now, and then from there they go into the Brave and Bold.
Which is awesome.
Which is great, but now it's canceled.
Actually, I heard it's not been that they brought it back.
Did they? Because last time I read, they said that it was going to be canceled.
That's right, I agree.
And I was very disappointed because I'm like, this has really got a great foundation.
I need to call them direct because the last report I got was they're doing this new thing this fall, and it's a DC entire block. They've got together with the new people in charge at DC. They've gone in. They've created a new block. I know Jay Lee is somehow involved in this.
Okay. Well, I know the lady is. She used to do the Harry Potter, who is now in charge of DC.
Well, they are taking.
I can't look her up. I can't get her name right.
Right. Well, they're taking this into a level where they've decided they're not canceling Brave and the Bold because actually, this is what people don't realize. That's the number one cartoon on Cartoon Network, closely followed by Star Wars Clone Wars, because it's not just watched by little kids, it's also watched by us.
Oh, granted.
I never turn into Cartoon Network unless one of those two shows is on, so I believe it. So, also, the toys are doing great, the merchandising is great, people love
the video game did well.
All these characters from the old days are coming in, and people love it, so they're going to keep it. It's going to be part of the new lineup with the
Young Justice
show and the new Green Lantern animated series. So
nice.
All this is going to be tying together, and there's going to be one more that they haven't announced yet. And who knows what that's going to be, but they're keeping it tightly under wraps, and there's going to be four killer DC animated shows right there in a block.
That'd be great. That's what we need. I mean, that is what we need. I mean, Marvel's just killing at the box office.
I'm kind of hoping
movies.
It's a Flash or somebody, you know, something like that, because the Flash's movie's scheduled for 2013.
I'd like to see Justice League. I mean, really, I would like to see Justice League.
I don't want to see it. I'm scared.
I'm talking about animated.
Oh, of course. Well, they
like that's what I would.
That's
like.
What I love. I love
the
series.
I would love Justice League to be the fourth one.
But you know, they did it for so long. I don't see them bringing that back yet.
But
I
they've
think
been
they're
doing Batman
wait.
For how long? I mean,
that's
Justice
different though. That's different. Justice League is a whole different ballgame. I think until the movie comes out, I think that's when we're going to get a new animated series. They're going to tie them together,
which would be great.
You know, they inhabit the same universe. You know how I'm talking about.
Oh,
that.
Granted, yeah.
So, but this the last DC. The last Justice League, I loved both versions.
Yeah, because that was McDuffie doing the majority
oh
of those. Right, and his stuff was great.
And
talk about someone that's going to be sorely missed in the animation world.
Oh, I know.
I mean,
yeah.
He did some great work. And what's sad is I was never a fan of his comics. You know, Justice League, Static Shock, not a big fan. I didn't.
Right.
But I'm telling you, when he did his anime,
well, Denny
the guy
was
involved
brilliant. There, too. We had a lot of Denny's kind of, you could feel the
influence.
The Paul Denny touch on things
yeah.
and the Bruce Timm. You could feel their touch on
oh,
that
yeah.
stuff. And when I interviewed them about it, they were, you know, they were very hands-on with the Justice League as well as the Batman stuff because they felt like, you know, this was a continuation of that universe, the universe they created for the Superman animated series and the Batman animated series. They wanted the Justice League to be true to those two universes as well as itself.
Oh, granted.
So they really tied those together so well. That's why I kind of don't think they'll bring it back just because I think – and this is just an opinion, but I really believe they're going to wait till the movie hits and then tie that in with the new animated series.
That's a possibility. But then again, like the Avengers, they started the Mighty Avengers animated last year. Second season, I believe, is getting ready to start this week or next week.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing about that they might start it early is to start building up that momentum, getting people familiar with this Justice League.
But again, they were already on the path. They already had an outline of what their adventures
oh, granted.
Were going to be.
But
I don't
it's
think
hard
they
say.
Even have that yet with Justice League. I think they're still on the drawing board for that. Because right now, a lot of people in the Warner Brothers arena have been very hesitant to allow Batman to even be involved in it. So that's the big thing.
Well, you got Christian Bale himself saying that he won't do a Justice League
that's
movie
right.
unless Christopher Nolan's involved. And I think that's kind of the reason that Christopher Nolan is a producer on the new Superman movie. And you'll probably see him as a producer in the Justice League.
I don't know. The way they're talking, Batman's going to be a completely different. They actually already cast a guy. They brought a guy in.
Well, I heard they hadn't cast anybody yet.
Not a firm casting, but they've already talked to him. They've already negotiated with him, and he's already on the line.
Well, they had a
line.
Well, they had a lineup a year ago.
Oh, for that, yeah, they dropped
for the Justice
that.
League, and then they dropped because I think yeah. even Common was going to be like Jon Stewart or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I was like, no, if they have a rapper in this movie, I won't go.
Yes. Well, plus, I really, if you're going to do a Justice League, you got to have Hal. I mean, really,
it needs to be Hal.
It
Jordan,
needs to be
I
Hal.
Even though I like all the different Green Lanterns, I have to agree. I think that's very important. I agree with you.
He's iconic, especially now in the comics. He's got such a...
You know, I don't want Ellen Page or somebody to play Hot Girl or something. I want him to really find the perfect people for this, you know, and that's something that... But recently, some guy has been approached about Batman in case Christian Bale is going to bail, so to speak. And so I did see a picture of him, and he looks the part, but as far as his jawline and everything, but...
I'm telling you, the guy I would love to see is Ian... You know, I can't... I really need to get my laptop where I can look these up. It's
That's
terrible.
Awesome.
But actually, he plays Damon in Vampire Diaries.
Gotcha.
And believe it or not, they one time approached him for doing Bruce Wayne on Smallville. Because he got his, and I'm telling you, if you watch Vampire Diaries, and he's a guy that you just can't, you want to hate him, but you love him. He just, he's got that look about him, and he can act so well. He's kind of like, you know,
Well, my thoughts about it is, you know, whoever they get, as long as it fits the character, that's all I care. You know?
Oh, granted.
No more juice, Joel Schumacher's.
Oh, that was terrible.
And I love George Clooney, but I have to say, I have to be the first to say, wow, really? What? And I don't even blame George. It was the direction.
It was bad.
You know who Uma Thurman can really act? Look at her as Poison Ivy in that movie. What the hell was that?
Do you know what's sad is, you know who I always wanted to see George Clooney play? And I think it would have been perfect.
Who's that?
Green Hornet.
You know what? You're right.
You know, I always would have loved to have seen, because he's got that kind of old style regalness about him.
Right.
You know, he does a lot of the older baseball movies, football movies. He's got that old.
He could be deadly serious.
Yeah, and he can play deer, but yeah. But he can be do an action movie.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that he would have been the perfect Green Hornet if you would have kept it back in that period.
Well, and my problem.
Show
my only
me
problem
a period
with,
Green Hornet.
Well, my only problem with Seth was the fact that, I mean, I like Seth as a comedic actor, and I've even liked him in some small dramatic parts I've seen. But the problem with it was you took a character that's the Green Hornet, who was never a lush, he was never just a flubbery buffoon.
Uh-uh.
He was actually an intelligent guy that was a detective, and that's why Batman had so much respect for him, was because he was a straight up serious guy. He was almost as good a detective.
But you
as
know
Batman.
What? If you look at Seth's storyline. And it's sad. I'm surprised that there hasn't had any legal action about it. His storyline is almost so close to Kevin Smith's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean, it's very close to Kevin Smith's 12-part miniseries of The Green Hornet. I mean, tell me, if they nowadays, let's do a Green Hornet movie with George Clooney and Jet Li. Tell me that wouldn't be great to see those two together.
I'd bring back Jay Chou. I thought he was great as Kato. He was really good. I liked it. It was the best thing about the movie.
He would have been good, but I mean, I'm just talking about star power.
Right. Well, Jet Li's the problem is that he wouldn't probably do it. He's too old now, and he just doesn't feel it, you know. But
I don't know. In The Expendables, he did not
great.
Look his age. He did not look it.
I agree with you. I don't.
I mean, I think he could have still done
at
it.
All. He doesn't look. He looked decades younger than
Heck,
everyone
you
in that movie.
You want to really do it? Let's throw a Jackie Chan in there with a George Clooney. That would have been great.
It would, but again, Jackie's, I think, past that point, because Kato's supposed to be the younger understudy.
Oh, no, I agree.
So even though he's the dude that kicks all the butt, he's supposed to be the younger guy. So,
but really, how many liberties did they have with Seth being the Green Hornet? That one pained me.
I mean, going back to the original with Bruce Lee, and you know, you're looking at that great, you know, even though it was a short-lived series, it had great writing, it had great respect for the characters.
Yes.
And that's why I was like, you know, and I know you know when it was released in Japan and in China, mm-hmm. they really pushed the Bruce Lee angle more than
well,
they
of course, because he was a bigger star
right.
over there than here.
It was called Kato with the Green Hornet. It was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is, look, you know, it is what it is. Seth did it. I have the movie because I'm a glutton for punishment, but the reason I have it is because before this movie ever happened, 10 years ago, I travel all over the country and I go to Chinatowns everywhere.
Right.
And I fell in love with this guy's music, and it turned out to be Jay Chou. And so this is his first breakthrough American part. Jay was also in that Kung Fu Slam Dunk or whatever it was, Kung Fu Dunk or something like that. I don't know what the American title is. I have the Chinese one. It's a kind of like Shaolin Soccer,
mm-hmm.
only it's like this kid who's playing kickball or not kickball, basketball. And he does all these cool kicks and everything, and he's a really great martial artist. Well, Jay Chou was in that too, and he was also in a couple other, you know, minor films that were big in Japan, you know, or China, sorry. And I love Jay Chou. Jay Chou is great, so that's why for me, I was like, holy cow, Jay Chow's in this movie. That's so awesome. Really, really made me excited. Stephen Chow was originally going to do it, and he left.
Well, he was going to direct it and play it.
Right, but when he saw that, he's like, oh, no, this isn't the Green Hornet.
He would have been great, too.
Oh, he would.
He had the great look. You know, he was going to direct it.
He's perfect. He's wonderful. We do have to go to break, so hell, why don't we do that?
Nice.
got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
Welcome back to the Brute Squad.
Awesome.
I think this is a good time to talk about comics this week.
Lots of good stuff coming out.
Oh, crazy stuff this week. It was a heavy week in comics. Some good, some bad. New Titans came out. Got to tell you, I'm reading this every month, but I'm just not feeling it. Sorry, guys. But Eric Wallace is trying to do a really good job. The whole thing with the Titans is it's basically kind of DC's version of the Thunderbolts. It's kind of a team of villains they're trying to follow. And they're really trying to get on the whole back of Deathstroke and everybody really liking it. But it doesn't seem like it really has any kind of direction. You really don't know where the characters are going. You got Arsenal, who was, you know, coming to be into his own as Red Arrow, is now all of a sudden, I mean, granted, he's gone through a lot. His daughter was killed, you know, his whole life got turned down. He lost his arm, but he goes from a superhero to now I'm a junkie on drugs with Deathstroke. So we'll keep trying it for a few more months, but I got to tell you, not the greatest comic. Birds of Prey, Gil Simone. Love her work, love her writing, love her with the Secret Six, love her with Birds of Prey. Kind of started a new direction. They actually killed off Oracle, not as far as physically killing her off, but it's kind of like Oracle killed off her own character. Now she's in hiding. It was one of those, too many people knew who she was. Everybody and their brother knew who Oracle it was. So now she's creating a new identity. Not bad. We'll kind of see where it goes with it. Legacy, The Age of X Aftermath, came out as well this week. It's kind of a follow-up. Kind of Age of X, for those of you that didn't really get into it. Legion and his psychic, you know, all these different personalities he has, created a new world where the X-Men were kind of being hunted down once again by the government. Very weird. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden this story comes in. Went for about, you know, 7 or 8 issues, and now it's the aftermath and everything's back to normal, but they all still have the memories of what happened in this alternate world. And Now they're dealing with these memories. Like Cyclops wasn't with Emma, the White Queen. He was with a villain, Frenzy, and they have memories of being together. So it's very odd. I have been an X-Men reader. X-Men, you know, I think 137 was like my very first comic. Bought it at Children's Mercy's Hospital. And I got to tell you, I love X-Men. Always have. Gambit, by far, one of my favorite characters. But these X-Men comics lately, they're just not grabbing me. Not like they used to. It's like there's not a real true direction to where they're going. They had the Utopia. They're out, you know, there's only like 198 mutants now. It just seems like this like storyline. First they're fighting Dracula. Now they have this Age of X, you know, I just wish they would get on the ball and just give me some good stories. Let's not have event after event after event. Just write me some good X-Men stories. The days they used to go against the Hellfire Club, the days they used to actually go out there and fight, you know, Freedom Force or the, you know, Evil Mutants. I mean, Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. I mean, I just want some good stories that's not based around all these events. And I'm really disappointed in the X-Men. I mean, for the first time in years, I just don't find any love for picking up an X-Men title. And that's sad. Rebels, DC. I really kind of love the concept of this comic. It's really good. It had Lobo, you know, Adam Strange, Starfire, Captain Comet. And it was a space odyssey. It's kind of like, you know, a little bit kind of like Green Lantern. You know, they're off in different universes, different stories. I'm really digging them. And now it's canceled.
Jeez.
Yes. Go and figure. I'm like, yeah, go figure. It's like, man, it's really kind of getting good, fired up. They threw Lobo in. I'm like, you got a comic that you got Lobo now as one of the main characters, and you're going to cancel it.
That's because that's what they've been doing. They kind of suck.
Well, they've been canceling a lot of comics because they have the new Flashpoint coming in. And supposedly DC is going to go into a new direction. Okay.
Yeah, we've seen that happen. Look what happened last time and what they did to Batman.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, guys.
You know, that's a good merging point. The biggest title that came out this week that everybody is excited about is Flashpoint. This is the new big summer event for DC Comics. Written by Jeff Jones, artwork by Andy Kubert. Doing some really good stuff. And I got to tell you, most of the stuff Jeff Jones has been putting out lately has been gold. I mean, Blackest Night, wonderful. I mean, you took Green Lantern, who was a villain. I mean, for all practical purposes.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he brought him back, redeemed him. You know, I mean, you got Hal Jordan now. Basically, if it wasn't for Jeff Johns turning this comic around, I doubt we'd be seeing a Green Lantern movie coming out this summer.
You're probably right.
I mean, he's made Green Lantern a more popular comic than Batman and Superman. There's more buzz around Blackest Night in the Green Lantern titles.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, but it's great. It's a good. But it shows good writing. You know, it's somebody that's not using this character at the point he was dead. Jeff Johns swoops in and not only rewrites him, but makes him better.
Makes him awesome, yeah. And, well, you know, and Jeff Johns has been doing that for a while now. He's been kind of coming in and showing his love for all things DC.
He does, and he takes something old and he makes it new again. You know, he's done that now with Barry Allen. The biggest part about, you know, the Blackest Night and all was he wanted to bring Barry Allen back, which he has. But basically with Barry Allen, it's kind of like, what direction are you going to do with Barry? How's it going to go? The point that I'm the most kind of disappointed in is he hasn't been gone that long in his own series. I mean, The Flash has only been around a few issues.
Right.
And they're now, I mean, we're on issue 12. He's been back for a year of all, you know, pretty much. And they're already going to this big event based around him. And I think it was a little premature. I think they needed to wait another year and let people actually get into Barry Allen again. Because number one, you have a lot of people that don't even like Barry Allen. I mean, when you think about it, Wally West has been around since the 80s. Wally West has almost been the Flash longer than Barry Allen was the Flash. I mean, Wally West has been the Flash for almost, you know, 30 years.
True.
You know, the Flash had been, you know, Barry, you know, so there is, and especially in this day and age, I mean, look at the Justice League cartoon. Who was the Flash?
Oh, Wally. Exactly, yeah.
You know, most of the comics have been Wally. I mean, unless you're a very old school, I've been reading comics in the 60s and 70s, the general reader knows Wally West is the Flash. Well, you bring back Barry, you need to kind of reintroduce him instead of, hey, we're going to go into this big event, and this big event is going to change the way you see the DC universe. Nothing will be the same.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I hear it monthly, it seems like. But I'm really kind of disappointed in it. And I'm picking up this new issue, and tell you the truth, I'm kind of worried. Because Jeff Johns has been doing, I mean, I'm going to trust in Jeff Johns because the guy always pulls through. But reading this first issue, you know, I'm kind of a little bit worried about how it's going to go. First of all, the whole story is Professor Zoom goes back into time and changes things. Well, number one, Barry is not the Flash.
Weird.
He has no powers. And they've changed a lot of things. Like in this universe, Cyborg is the main superhero. Superman has never been heard of. And the reason Superman has never been heard of is because the government found the rocket ship instead of Martha. And he's now basically been experimented on for all these years. So he's in this fortress, basically, you know, oh, Mr. Independence Day. Yeah, we don't really know that aliens exist, even though we got them in the basement.
Right, right.
Aquaman, leader of Atlantis. Wonder Woman, leader of Themyscira. Well, you have Wonder Woman taking over Europe. Well, I should say Great Britain, actually. I misspoke. Wonder Woman takes over Great Britain. Aquaman takes over Europe and winds up flooding half of Europe. So now you kind of have this big war going on with Wonder Woman and Aquaman, Emperor Aquaman and Wonder Woman and the Furies. And it's like Captain Cold. Captain Cold's now a good guy.
Bizarre.
Citizen Cold. I think the biggest twist in this whole thing is they did it again, folks. They killed Batman.
What?
Yes.
Jesus, man.
I knew that you'd be happy to hear that.
Get a job in a sideshow.
But, well, I got to tell you, though, the way they've done this, I'm very interested in it. Because I kind of misspoke in a way. It's not really Batman they killed. Batman is still in here. but it's not Bruce. History was changed, and Bruce's mother was killed by the shots, and so was Bruce. So the new Batman is actually Thomas Wayne avenging his son and wife's death. And it's actually, I got to tell you, this part is not too bad because him being an adult when this happened, he actually has a different viewpoint on things. He's not so frightened with guns. He's not so frightened as in justice. I mean, right off the bat, he takes one of Joker's henchmen and throws him off a building. Cyborg's there to save him, and he's like, why'd you save him? Because we're seeing a very, in my opinion, dark, brooding, true, I am the justice, I am the executioner Batman. And it's early on, it is the first issue, you know, but that is one part that I'm finding interesting. The concept that Thomas is Batman. We'll kind of have to see how it goes, you know, throughout the stories. I mean, they're only doing 17 miniseries and 4 or 5 one-shots each month, but...
Granted.
But so far, not too bad.
Well, give it a shot, right?
Well, in theory.
We'll give it a shot.
We'll give it a shot.
You know, my thing is I'm just tired of messing with everything. Why can't we just enjoy our characters the way they were when we were kids?
Well, it just seems like... My problem is it's just another event again. I really miss the years that you had 4 or 5 comics with a storyline and then 4 or 5 comics going with some other villains. I mean, I like the story arcs, but I'd like to have a little breath, something to breathe in between these events. I know you heard it last week. You're hearing, you know, I'm sure next week. But, you know, but it is one of those things of what it is. I'm getting to the point that I'm really enjoying comics, you know, that do not have the events.
Oh, me too.
You know, I say that for years. I've been reading Grim Fairy Tales. It's on, like, issue 59, and I've been reading them since it came out. These are great comics by Zenscope. They kind of take the Brothers Grimm tales and retell them, and they kind of throw a modern edge on it.
Right.
But even this month, they're having the Dream Eater saga, which is an event through all their titles. The only thing I can give them credit for is they've been around for, you know, 5, 6 years, and they're just now finally getting to an event. So we can actually respect that part of it.
Man, it just gets crazy, though.
It does. Superman was good this week. I got to tell you, I'm liking Superman's with Skolinski's storyline.
Cool.
I mean, last week we talked about, you know, Superman renouncing his American citizenship. This comic really doesn't touch on that. It kind of ignores it. So I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with that. In this one, he just goes after Livewire, a villain that's been in the cartoons and everything.
Right.
And he finds out that she's going nuts because of her powers. She's not really a villain. Her powers are corrupting her. So he kind of helps her out, gets her a new containment suit, and all of a sudden now she's good.
Huh.
So at the end of it, Jimmy's like, why are you doing this? Why are you sticking up for it? And, you know, Superman kind of talks about, I mean, a line from the comic here, because that's the idea of America, was founded on, it's not just for people born here, it's for everyone. And it's for people like me and Livewire too. So they do touch on the whole American dream.
Right.
But I'm really kind of curious to when Superman became so political.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like here lately, it's kind of become more of a political platform than just a comic.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm kind of still waiting to see where it goes from here. Right now, I mean, Skolinski's kind of given a little bit of outlines, but the biggest part with him is he's now working on Superman Earth 1 2, the sequel. First one was great, hardback novel, loved it. Great. It's kind of a new revisioning of Superman. But it's, once again, coined the phrase Elseworld title. But overall, you know, it was a good read. So I'm not sure where his direction is on this, but, you know, that's part of the ride.
It's true. You know, I'm willing to at least see where it goes.
Oh, yeah. And I guess the last one I'm really going to talk about is, you know, the New Mutants. It came out this week, issue 25. All of a sudden, it's going to be a new direction from the New Mutants.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I'm just, it's once again, it's like we're 2 years into the comic and they're going to put it in a new direction. And it's like, really? Do we have to have a new direction again? I'm kind of like, just give me a New Mutants comic. Come on, guys.
Apparently, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it's like Daredevil. They have two or three different reboots for Daredevil. They finally say, hey, Daredevil's getting close to what would be the 600th issue. So we're going to change the numbering back to put him back in sync for 600. But then we're going to get rid of him, and we're going to have Daredevil, not Daredevil, but Black Panther in the Daredevil comics. So it's not going to be Black Panther, the Man Without Fear. Well, now...
What?
Yes. Right now, New York is Hell's Kitchen is protected by Black Panther. But it goes even a step further. Now they're doing a miniseries, you know, basically, you know, Daredevil Reborn or their version of Rebirth from Green Lantern, where they're bringing Matt Murdock back as Daredevil. Not in his own title, but in a miniseries. Because you couldn't actually have Daredevil in his own series. You got to have him in a miniseries.
What did, is he another one that got fired because he was the wrong color in the big race?
No, he wasn't one of those. No, it was just one of those that basically they had him taken over the hand, killing people. And all of a sudden, they're going to try to find him, have redemption, and rebuild himself again. And then, guess what we get?
I don't know if I want to know.
A Daredevil number one. Kind of like they killed off, you know, Johnny of the Fantastic Four. He's dead. And what did they do? They, after they renumbered everything to get the Fantastic Four up to like issue 600, now they're starting back on issue one again. And I got to tell you, rebooting these comics over and over is just daunting to me.
It's really daunting to all the fans, and it's almost like a slap in our faces. It's like, we don't care. We know you'll buy it because you have nothing else.
Well, they're always looking for the selling point. Hey, it's a new number one issue. But, you know, you really kind of diminish the value of a number one issue when you're doing a new number one every for so many years.
Well, every other week? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did this. I mean, how many have they been doing that? The only thing I can actually say that I like, DC, you know, Action Comics or Superman is still has 711. You know, Detective is still up there. Action is at 900. 900th issue just came out. You know, they don't need to keep rebooting these, you know. Understand, you know, a lot of the concept. I was talking to a good friend of mine, Matt, tonight. You know, that, you know, for those of you who don't know, Matt, you know, and I own a comic shop, and I do the radio show, and he kind of hangs out at the comic shop. And we were talking, and he says, well, the biggest reason they do this is basically they're afraid that that number will scare off readers. Oh, my God, it's on 700? Well, I'm going to have to get 700 back issues. I'm not going to buy it.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, you know, but there has been some articles that people think that way. I'm like, really? It's a Batman comic. Who cares what number it is?
Well, of course, but that means also that he's been around that long and that many people love it. So you got to look at it. It's a double sword.
It is a double sword. But for me, it's really bad, like, for those collectors that are trying to find holes in their collection and all. Let me go to the convention. Well, I need Batman number 12. Okay, is that from Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, Volume 4,
Volume the 93. Rebirth?
Yeah, it's kind of like, don't even get me on Iron Man. You've had Iron Man, Incredible Iron Man. You had Iron Man Rebirth. You had Heroes Reborn. It's kind of like, how many times are you going to reboot these series for the exact same character?
Exactly.
So, you know, to me, it's like, come on. Just give me some good comics and let them flow.
God forbid that happens.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. And really, the bottom line is it's become a greed market, you know. There's too much greed and not enough creativity. And if they think creativity is reinventing the wheel every time you turn around or killing somebody off, well, then there's something wrong with them right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have to kill a character off all the time just to create drama, there's an issue there. I mean, really. I mean, I understand death is a part of life. But when you sit there and you're talking about comics and it's kind of like, and we're going to kill them off so we can bring them back. We're going to kill them off so we can bring them back. It's kind of like those are arguments. Is wrestling real? Yeah, wrestling's real. No, it's scripted. If you watch real close, they whisper in each other's ear. You know, it's kind of like with wrestling, you know, not wrestling, but with comics. We're not that dumb. You know, I mean, most of the average people that read comics are adults nowadays anyway.
They must think we're a bunch of tools.
Yeah, but it's one of those things like, no, we understand. If I'm collecting comics. I'm reading them. I don't get it.
Makes you crazy, Johnny.
Sometimes. But yet, I still love them. But at the end of the day, though, I love them. I mean, I love my comics. I want to read them. I love the stories. It's just trying to find that magic I had when I was a kid. You know, when I read the new Rebirth with Jeff Johns, Loved it. Love that stuff. The Blackest Night, great stuff. I mean, the whole concept of all these dead heroes coming back as, you know, Black Lanterns, great stuff. You know, Brightest Day, you know, a lot of people weren't real happy about Brightest Day. You know, everybody's like, man, you just did a 24-issue limited series to bring back Swamp Thing.
That was, you know, that, I love it.
You know, but by the same token, everybody and their brother that goes to any convention, one of the number one most asked questions was, when are you going to bring Swamp Thing back to DC? And then all of a sudden they do, and they're like, oh, really? It's, no, guys, you got to pick one or the other.
Yeah, quit giving everyone such a hard time, douches.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to pick on them for something, let's pick on them for stuff they deserve. You know, don't give me the 12th issue number one. You know, don't give me 20 different one-shots in 1 month that you're like, well, you only have to buy the ones you're interested in. We don't force you to buy these 20 one-shots. Yeah, but you know what? If you really want to know what's going on and enjoy, you know, the DC universe or the Marvel universe, the average person is going to want to buy them. So you're kind of entrapped.
I agree.
It's just a speed trap. That's what it is.
I agree.
Yep.
Bastards.
Yeah, well, it's DC. You know, my problem is, you know, I have a problem. It's kind of, you know, an addiction. If I see a comic with the DC logo on it, half the time I got to pick it up. It's like, oh my God, I might actually miss something that's going on. Yeah, it's not going to change my life, but I got to pick it up.
Yep. You and me both.
Oh, I know. And then what do we got coming up? We got Priest.
Priest is coming up. We're going to be seeing that. And then we're going to probably hit the Pirates next week.
Pirates is next week.
So we'll be hitting some stuff.
It'll wow, that's fun. Coming up.
Yep, we'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about Pirates. Pirates is looking like it's going to be a pretty good show.
It will. It'll be fun.
I think that I'm more excited about it focusing more on Jack. Not that the others didn't, but I kind of like the idea of Jack actually having a love interest, you know, dealing with Blackbeard and not trying to pick up on somebody else's girl.
We just need to bring a translator for Penelope Cruz. I can't stand her in any movie she's ever been in. I can't understand a word she says. I can't understand a word in the trailer. They should have got Salma Hayek. Leave the Penelope Cruz out. She's a talentless hack. All right, I'm better now.
Wow. Tell you what, another hour and it's gone.
That's right. Boom.
Well, tell you what, guys. Come back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and check out Brute Squad on Jack Loeb Radio.
to die. No time.